This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Senate Commerce and Energy is now in session. I'd like to ask everyone to please take a seat if you haven't already and have your phones turned to silent. If you plan on testifying today, please make sure you sign in at the back of the room. Also, please prepare to have handouts distributed to the members of the committee through the pages, and lobbyists, have your badges clearly visible. Welcome to those that are joining us online. We encourage your participation remotely. Please contact us through Senate Commerce at sdlegislature.gov. Again, that is Senate Commerce at sdlegislature.gov. Lastly, a reminder that all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. At this time, I'd ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster. Nordstrup?
Here.
Schoenbeck?
Excuse.
Stalzer?
Here.
Steinhauer?
Here.
Tobin?
Here.
Zickman?
Excuse.
Wheeler?
Here.
Crabtree?
Here.
You have seven present. You have a quorum.
Thank you. This time, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
So
it's been moved by Steinhauer and seconded by Stalzer. We'll take a voice vote. Those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The minutes are approved. This time, we'd ask the pages to please come up to the mic. Tell us, your name, where you're from, and where you plan to go. It's your first day on the job, right? All right, good. You'll get used to this part here.
All right. My name is Dorian Sickink. I am from Castlewood. And main reason I had enlisted to become a page is because I wish to know more about the legislative process, as it's actually been a dream of mine to be here since the seventh grade.
Well, thank you. Glad to have you here.
Thanks. Hello. My name is Michael Wagner. I'm from Sioux Falls and a senior at Roosevelt High School. And I'm just here to learn more about the legislative process.
Perfect. What do you have plans for next year?
USD.
All right. Well, great. Glad to have you.
Coyotes.
Yeah, lots of Coyotes fans in here right now. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started with today's agenda. We plan to run this in order unless something happens out of the ordinary. So we will actually... We're waiting for Senator Nessaba on the first one, and he just texted. So let's move on to SB 161 if Senator Foster is ready. This is an act to provide housing opportunities.
Morning, Chair, members of the committee, Red Dawn Foster, Senator from District 27, Pine Ridge, Ogallala, Lakota County. The page is passing around the amendment, and I'm not sure if it's ready to be filed online. But this is essentially a hog house bill that is requesting your favorable vote to go to Senate Appropes to keep this bill alive, essentially. There's a similar bill that's coming in from the House side that there was some confusion about. So what this bill does, I'm not sure.
That's fine.
There was someone else that was supposed to testify. So what this bill does is Sinte Glishka College received a grant for manufactured housing that is a model house that will be built on Mars, and they are partnering with South Dakota School of Mines to administer this, and so they are requesting a portion of general grant funds to match the $300,000 that they received in this grant funding. So.
Thank you, Senator Foster. Further proponents for SB 161? Perfect timing.
Chairman, members of the committee. Let me catch my breath from slipping a little bit outside. My name is Ross Gerlich Bell. I'm the registered advocate for the Yankton, Oglala, and Crow Creek Sioux tribes. This is this amendment to Senate Bill 161 is something that the tribal governments have been working on for several years with the federal government. The concept, and just to give you a little bit of background, I also do aerospace policy. So not only do I work with tribes, I also work with NASA back in D.C. and with state governments around the country through an association called the Aerospace States Association. Now, I'm not advocating for them here, but just to give you a little background on that, I also work for the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, which is the premier research organization in peer review for NASA and the scientific organizations. So taking that background, we brought NASA with HUD, and we sat down with Senator Thune, who was the former chairman of the Committee on Commerce, which had oversight of NASA and the FAA, to look at how we dual-purpose federal dollars so that you take NASA research and make it applicable at the same time to HUD housing, so to speak, as one example. So the idea of 3D printed homes came up as one of the forefront issues back about 5 years ago, of taking a 3D printed project that NASA needed to test for how it handled the extreme weather conditions of Mars and the Moon, and applying that, taking it, testing it somewhere, and taking it, using it to build a house here in South Dakota for one of the tribes. The idea is, once you get 3D housing going, it will use local material source, which is the idea for NASA for the Moon and Mars, because they have to. You don't want to ship all the sand and everything to the Moon and Mars. It's very costly. So the idea is, you source it locally, and then your cost drops, because the print to house is only about three people and an iPhone once you get the foundation done. It would drop the cost of housing by almost two-thirds, which for tribal housing, which has had level funding for the past 30 years pretty much, which is why you see there's no new housing construction in Indian country. It's not because of mismanagement. It's because the feds haven't increased the funding while the population has gone up significantly, to the degree now that even maintaining those houses gets very difficult because the funding's not there. But if you could take HUD money with the level funding and make it go three times as far, then you've possibly solved a crisis. So what came about was us meeting with NASA, the tribal governments, with NASA people at NASA Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama, and coming up with a plan for the Artemis program, in which they could do a test run of the 3D printing in Indian country. So they came up with a partnership with Syntegleska University as the lead, and they developed it where it would be a NASA CAN that was approved last fall. With matching funds, not one-to-one matching, but NASA matches up to $250,000, and the matching partner could go above that. They can't go below it. It's matching at the minimum. The idea is to test, again, how the structure handles extreme weather, which South Dakota is pretty close to Mars, as you can see today from last week, and also to check remote control of the operation. So they want to test it, possibly using remote control operations in Australia, to see if they can control the printer in mission, which, again, pretty cool tech. Not as cool as getting to Mars yet, but they have to take the steps. Then the idea is that they develop this program, and yeah, the School of Mines, their professors are part of this program because they have a whole cement program. So this would help develop the cement mix and everything else. They look at using simulants like Martian simulant to see how the Martian soil would work. And NASA would gather a bunch of data. The tribal students gain a certificate program at additive manufacturing. I think it'd be the only second one in the country. Which is the future of housing construction. If you go to Austin, Texas right now, there's a whole development being built in 3D. They're going for $1 million. It's pretty cool tech. They also are solving some homeless issues in Mexico with the technology. And they're the partner right now with NASA that has built a habitat at the Johnson Space Center for a year, where they're going to lock some people up to see how they handle not living without windows and such in a concrete structure. So you get students out of this that will be trained. Hopefully the machine stays as a tribal business. That would create jobs in some of the most impoverished counties in the country. And for the state, you're getting a whole new program that the School of Mines is working with, as well as a partner. And NASA wants to throw, they've already started talking about more research dollars into the state as this new partnership develops. They've worked a lot with the Colorado School of Mines, But they see South Dakota School of Mines as a new partner, which is already a space grant university and one that's worked with tribal colleges before. So we're, as you can tell, I'm very geeked out about this because I think it's a really cool concept to take NASA tech and put it to real world, and also to see that it's fiscally sound, where you're taking federal dollars and dual purposing them at the same time for real world applications. And let's not even forget the STEM side of it for kids. If they're going to be able to see something that actually is part of the Moon to Mars program right in their back door, see that the house they're maybe moving into is part of the same construction that's going to be going on for future housing on other planets, that's pretty cool stuff to get a kid excited about what the future possibilities are. And I think it's something that the state coming in as a partner with the tribes, it's one of those unique opportunities where the tribes, the state, the universities all come in on some great economic development. And for those reasons, we hope you support Senate Bill 161 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for Senate Bill 161. Further proponents. Seeing none, we'll move on to opponents. Any opponents for Senate Bill 161? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move on to committee questions. Any committee questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Steinar.
How do you want to approach this amendment? Because it isn't online. Can we use this handout? And
Will, how close are we to having that online?
It's ready now to be released as exactly as it's typed, as you see on that on the handout. So it's.
So Senator Foster has it in her queue.
It should be popping up momentarily.
Okay. Senator Steinauer, thoughts are to have Senator Foster release that, move that, adopt that. Continue discussion. Thank you. You just let us know when it shows up there.
Okay.
Since we have a copy of it here, Senator Foster, you could move the amendment as you, if you wanted to. We can begin committee questions off of it, and then Walt would ask you to release it. Is it?
I move 161C.
So we have a motion to move Amendment 161C by Senator Salzer, second by Senator Schoenbeck. Any discussion on that? Seeing none. Yep, perfect. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Amendment is approved. We'll go ahead and move into committee questions as on SB 161 as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass as amended.
We have a do pass motion from Senator Wheeler on SB 161 as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by Senator Schoenbeck.
Substitute motion.
We have a substitute motion from Senator Salzer.
Recommend referral to Senator Joint Appropriations with a due pass.
Do we have a second for the motion to send it to, would you say joint or to Senate?
I defer to the pro tem, which should it?
I'll second the motion.
We have a second from Senator Schoenbeck. Go ahead, Senator Schoenbeck.
I just would point out, I'm not, that's what I get for having a different meeting and coming a little late to this party. You can't go to Senator Probst for sure because the crossover date. Joint Probst can have a bill longer. Okay. I don't know what the strategy is behind this, so
yeah, it's just for discussion of with an appropriation whether.
So here's what we got going on, just so the committee and everybody is aware. We've got the same bill is sitting over in the House today. So this same bill is over in the House, and what they are working on is trying to, I believe, smoke that out, right? Is that what Representative Blair was working on? So they're trying to pass that on there. So what we're looking to do is keep this alive for Senator Foster. If that passes over there, this bill will likely be tabled. If that bill fails over there, this bill is probably still likely to be tabled, but we would at least have that discussion. Senator Schoenbeck.
If given that background, wouldn't it make just as much sense to send it to the floor?
I'll withdraw my motion.
I withdraw my second.
So Senator Stalzer has withdrawn his substitute motion. Senator Schoenbeck has withdrawn his second. We are back at the original motion, which was do pass as amended by Senator Wheeler. Do we have a second on that? Do we have
second.
Yeah, Senator Schoenbeck had already seconded that. All right. Now we've kind of covered all the bases. I hope everybody's having as much fun as I am. any discussion on that, Senator Wheeler? Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Aye.
Pass.
Stalzer? Aye.
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 Let's go Senator Nordstrom.
Aye.
Aye.
We have nine ayes.
All right. After receiving a majority of the votes, SB 161 is hereby deemed passed. I didn't see you sitting there in the front. All right. We will start with SB 140, an act to recognize hair discrimination as an unfair or discriminatory practice. Senator Nesseba.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Reynold Nesseba from Sioux Falls District 15, and thank you for accommodating me. There are a lot of other shows going on all here at the same time this morning. So I bring to you today Senate Bill 140. At the national level, this bill has been referred to as the Crown Act, and that's an acronym for Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair. And I must confess that as a middle-aged white guy, this is an issue that I did not understand. It's really come to me in the last couple of years of what an issue this is, particularly for African American people in America. So what the Crown Act does, it combats racial discrimination commonly found in professional policy in the workplace and schools. Too often, black women and men are pressured to conform to Eurocentric forms of beauty, and whether that be chemically straightening their hair, which is often curly, or told that their dreadlocks are not allowed within their school or workplace, even though there are deeply associated cultural and racial roots to those hairstyles. So black men and women have been judged, reprimanded, they've even been fired due to simply wearing their hair in a way that grows out of their head in a natural way. So what this bill makes clear is that discrimination based on hair type is considered as part of racial discrimination. So this bill would be amending our chapter of code 20-13, and 20-13 is that section of code that has to do with human rights, right? And 2013-10 in particular makes clear unfair or discriminatory practices. So this bill also makes it clear that businesses can require appropriate hair management for health and safety concerns, right? So there's nothing in this bill that would prevent somebody from requiring them to wear a hairnet, or if you're working in food or some other place where that needs to be managed, businesses would still be able to do that. And also, I made a change that's similar to the bill that passed in Nebraska, where I made an exception for our National Guard, making it clear there in that last part of the bill, it is not an unfair or discriminatory practice for the South Dakota National Guard to impose its own dress and grooming standards. So we simply cut them out of that bill entirely. So at a time when we face so many workforce challenges that continue to impede economic development across the state, we need to be clear that in South Dakota, all workers are welcome in South Dakota. They're not going to be discriminated against if they're members of a protected class because they have a hairstyle that's historically associated with their race. So I urge the committee to support Senate Bill 90. And I do have a couple of people who would like to testify online. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Nesseba. Any further in-person proponents for SB 140? Seeing none, Senator Nesseba, is there an order you'd like these to go?
No.
Okay. We'll start with Abigail.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We've got you.
All right, sounds good. Hello, my name is Etta McKinley, formerly known as Abigail Turner. I'm 18 years old and graduated May of 2021 from Roosevelt High School. You may remember me from last year as I did testify for this exact same bill. To be completely honest with you, it is very disheartening that I have to testify again for something so simple we were asking for. Since I graduated, I started college at the American Musical and Dramatics Academy in New York City. I came back to Sioux Falls due to financial reasons, but the 4 months I lived there were some of the best months of my life, not just because of the college experience, but the lack of criticism and comments I got about my hair. In New York, people don't care what you look like or how your hair is, and I was able to walk into stores or just walk down the street without a single stare or comment. The minute I moved back here was a whole different story. As soon as I got a job here, I had to mentally prepare myself for the people I'd be dealing with. You think that I could just go to work every day and do my job without conflict, but I had customers reach over the counter trying to grab and touch my afro. I had a man corner me by my cash register saying how dirty my hair looked. In all honesty, I felt like I was in high school again. I wear my afro because it makes me feel beautiful. It is very hard for me to find myself attractive in any way, and all throughout high school, I tried so many different hairstyles to either fit in or to please others. But the minute I started wearing an afro, I felt like I had found a piece of me I had never seen before. I could finally look in the mirror and say I look beautiful. But as soon as I go outside, people like to tell me their opinions on my hair and how they think I should wear it. I want South Dakota to be a place that the black population can thrive and that our hair is the least of our worries. The money and time that goes into our hair is something most people will never understand. Even our nighttime routine has to do with our hair. Being able to wear our hair how we shouldn't be a privilege. It should be common courtesy. Being able to wear my hair as it grows from my head, as God created me, should not be something I have to continue to fight for. I want to be able to go grocery shopping and not see people trying to take pictures of me. I want to be able to go to a restaurant and not have to tell a group of women how I do my hair and how much time it takes. And to be honest, if I could live anywhere in the world right now, I would literally choose any place except South Dakota. It is a lovely state. But I feel like I'm at a disadvantage just because of the way I look. The thought of even raising kids in South Dakota kind of scares me. I'm working towards going to school here in South Dakota and finding local jobs where I'm valued for what I can bring. I know that having this act passed would ensure that I'm more fully able to show up and help make this state a better place for me and for all people who celebrate their natural hair. To be able to wake up and not have to deal with people who make me feel insecure and bring me down every day has helped my mental health tremendously. I'm asking you for the second year in a row to pass the Crown Act to demonstrate South Dakota legislature's value that God has created in me and the freedom great guaranteed to all people. Let the black community of South Dakota have a victory we so deserve and have waited so long for. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadifa.
Can you guys hear me?
We've got you. Yep.
Awesome. All right. My name is Nadifa Muhammad, and I just want to thank, you know, Randall Nisba for giving us the opportunity to share our stories and, you know, and bringing this to you guys' attention for the second time. You know, having black hair, it's a lot of work. It's who we are. And having natural hair, it's very expensive. But, you know, over the years, like, I've learned to love and appreciate my hair. I have learned to not put too much chemical, because when we are forced to straighten our hair and use a lot of heat that could, you know, cause heat damage, a lot of chemicals to straighten our hair, like, we end up losing hair, and then now we're stuck, you know, with insecurities and not feeling beautiful because we lost hair, and now we're buying a lot more products to try to fit in. And so I think this, you know, this passes will allow us to fully embrace who we are, and our hair, like I said, is truly who we are. A lot of people who are given the opportunity to wear what they want to wear and dress how they want to wear, they perform well because, you know, in all honesty, if you look good, you feel good, and you have full control on what you wear, you do good. You know, and so you do good in the workforce, you do good at school, your self-esteem is high, your confidence is high, you know, and so I'm as also sad, you know, that I have my 16-year-old sister here also having to come and convince that, hey, like, this is not okay. This hair discrimination is not okay. And so I hope that when you are making your decision today, you would, you know, really think about it. You know, this could be a child. If this was your son who had a beard and all of a sudden, you know, and a beard was an issue, you know, and, you know, how would you go about it? And so I really hope that that you make the right decision and you allow us to you help allow us to fully represent ourselves and be who we are and walk around with, you know, with so much confidence. And so I appreciate again for having the opportunity to really share our story. Thank you.
Thank you. Zuhaira?
Mm-hmm. Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we've got you.
Hi, my name is Zuhaira Mohammed. I am a junior at Jefferson High School. And like Etta, I was disheartened to hear that the bill was not passed last year. I personally cannot say that I've been discriminated for Hair Act, but most of my Black peers, I've heard countless stories of how when they choose to express themselves by their hair, they've been discriminated in the classroom. One of my friends was asked to move all the way to the back because a fellow student could not see her hair. And my friend tried to voice that she can't see, and she didn't have her glasses that day, but she was still asked to move all the way to the back. I really hope that this bill gets passed for all girls here in South Dakota to ensure that we are not being discriminated against for how we choose to celebrate ourselves through our hairstyles. I look forward to being able to acknowledge that in the future of South Dakota, our committee stands with all women and girls regardless of how we choose to wear our hair. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents. Are there any further proponents online for SB 140? Any further proponents? Seeing none, we will move on to opponents for SB 140. Any opponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bill Van Camp, a lawyer from Pierre and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. I was really hoping I'd be the second or third person up on this, but here I am first. You know, a couple things. We opposed this bill last year when it came. I, too, like the sponsor. I'm up here as a middle-aged white guy opposing this legislation, and I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. First, proponent of the bill from Roosevelt High, her testimony last year about getting picked on in school was simply awful. And what she talked about earlier today about what she encounters on the street is simply awful. The problem is this bill doesn't do anything to address that, and it doesn't help her, and I think it doesn't alleviate the discrimination she sees or the outright meanness of other students or people on the street that look at her funny because she's different. This bill doesn't do that. Now, the Crown Act has passed, in my notes, as of late last summer, before we started this cycle of legislatures around the country, it passed in 13 states. The Crown Act was introduced in different, in each state's a little bit different. It's been introduced in D.C. the last few years. It hasn't been able to pass out there. A lot of the debate in the legal community and in some of the case law has to do with what is an immutable characteristic versus a non-immutable characteristic. Currently, our law and the Division of Human Rights and the statutes that were addressed by the prime sponsor address things that are immutable, and those are in current statute. And the current statute is 2013-10, race, color, creed, religion, sex, ancestry, disability, national origin. The retailers oppose this bill, not that we don't minimize the cultural significance of people choosing to wear their hair in a certain manner. We just don't believe in South Dakota that that should give rise to a separate cause of action that would allow someone to file a discrimination action if an employer were to, on a non-arbitrary basis, have a standard in place that addresses employee appearances. Now, I'll tell you, and the case law will show, that there have been successful discrimination cases brought across this country where discrimination was shown, where people, where employers were applying a standard in the case of certain hairstyles and discriminate against people in their hiring practices and in their advancement practices. An employer, and certainly anyone that I would advise an attorney, as an attorney that was establishing a practice that was arbitrary or was using a racially motivated basis upon which to deny employment opportunity or advancement based on certain hairstyles, they're asking for litigation under the current law, in my opinion, anyways. It might not give that person the right to go to the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Labor or to file a claim, but I think they certainly would have a cognizable claim under federal law as it exists now, even though the Crown Act is not law. If you are discriminating, you're violating the law as it is. And so for that reason, we think that this law is unnecessary right now under the current state of affairs in South Dakota. And until such time as I think federal action happens here, I don't think that it's warranted in South Dakota to create literally a new protected class under our civil rights law. And for that reason, we oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 140. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 140? Seeing none, we'd open it up to sponsor rebuttal. Senator Nesba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Bill Van Camp. I just want to echo his words about just the meanness that happened, and agree with him that nothing in my bill is going to stop people from being unkind to other people in the world. My bill really is focused on the issue of employment and discrimination. If you look at our statute carefully and you go through all of those pages of law books, you'll find that we never define race in South Dakota, right? We just simply include it in 20-13-10. We say it's unfair or discriminatory practice because of race, color, creed, religion, sex, ancestry, disability, or national origin. What this bill is doing is simply saying one characteristic of race is hair. And that we're going to make that and make it clear that that is a part of how we define this undefined thing we call race. And so that is my main rebuttal. And I would urge the committee to move due pass on Senate Bill 140. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would imagine there'll be some questions.
I imagine so. Senator Nesba, thank you for the rebuttal. We'll open it up to committee questions. Any committee questions? Got a quiet bunch here today, Senator Nesba. Saying no committee questions, I'd open it up to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
I would move SB 140 to the 41st day.
We got a motion to move Senate Bill 140 to the 41st day by Senator Schoenbeck. Is there a second? Second. A second by Senator Stalzer. Further discussion on that motion, Senator Schoenbeck.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the bill doesn't do anything about what the testifiers were concerned about. And I think I'd even go one step further and say it doesn't even relate to race. We were just told that this ties the hair issue to race, and it doesn't. If you read the text of the bill, that'd be in lines 9 through 11. In this labor market, I doubt an employer would discriminate based upon hair texture, or style or type, because it's a very difficult labor market, and you'd be a fool as an employer if you did that. So I think this is an interesting political discussion, but not one that relates to our situation in South Dakota.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to send this to the 41st day? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster?
No.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
You have 8 ayes, 1 nay.
After receiving a majority of the votes, Senate Bill 140 is hereby deferred to the 41st day. All right, we will move on to Senate Bill 180, an act to amend certain provisions relating to the Small Business Credit Initiative Fund. Good morning, Mr. Dovery.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Travis Dovery. I serve as the Finance Director for the Governor's Office of Economic Development. I'm here today to ask for your support of Senate Bill 180. This bill seeks to amend certain provisions relating to the Small Business Credit Initiative Fund. This is the fund behind GUED's SDWorks loan program. This program is widely flexible and can be used to meet the needs of just about every small business in the state. A little history on the program. In the wake of the Great Recession, Congress passed the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010. One of the things this act did was create the State Small Business Credit Initiative, SSBCI, program at U.S. Treasury. These funds were allocated to states on a formula basis, and South Dakota received a little over $13 million. The primary focus of SSBCI is to provide access to capital for small and disadvantaged businesses. GUED successfully deployed these funds, meeting all of Treasury's requirements before the federal program sunset in 2017. The SDWorks program continues to operate today as designed. As part of the American Rescue Plan Act, the SSBCI program was revived and funded. Hence, the change in Section 1 of the bill striking the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010 is cleanup, as we don't need to reference the federal acts in state law, only the applicable code. The key here is the insertion of 2021, which will bring the reference to the federal code current. This will allow the SDWorks program to participate with the newly authorized SSBCI funds from ARPA. South Dakota stands to receive up to $60 million over the next 6 years if the requirements can be met. Section 2 of the bill is a technical cleanup item, moving the order of some of the references, and Section 2 also shifts the oversight of these funds to the Board of Economic Development. Under the original SDWorks loan program, a loan committee was formed to make the loan and credit decisions. The committee members were appointed by the GUED commissioner. While this worked well in the past, we believe moving these loan decisions under the Board of Economic Development adds additional transparency to the process that isn't there now. To be clear, this isn't an additional board. The Board of Economic Development has regular monthly meetings to oversee the Ready Fund loans, Local Infrastructure Improvement Program, Reinvestment Payment Program, and others. This is simply formally tasking them with oversight of an existing program. Section 3 is also modernization and cleanup and contains the shift from GUED to the Board of Economic Development as it updates outdated references to the circulars, as those have been consolidated under 2 CFR Part 200. Section 4 incorporates the shift from GUED to the Board of Economic Development. And Section 5 incorporates the same shift, but it also strikes meetings. Because the Board of Economic Development meetings are not confidential, they are very much open and abide by all public meeting laws. Although the changes proposed by Senate Bill 180 are minor, the impact on South Dakota and future generations of small business owners will be substantial. GUED is excited at the prospect of having a fully capitalized SDWorks program again, especially at a time when our economy is going strong, but also potentially facing future headwinds from interest rate increases. I ask for your yes vote, and we'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for Senate Bill 180? Further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponents. Any opponents to SB 180? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move this on to committee questions, discussion, and/or action. Senator Schoenbeck.
Move due pass on SB 180.
Second.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Schoenbeck, a second from Senator Wheeler. Any discussion on that? Seeing one, Senator Steinhauer.
I had a question.
It was questions, discussion, and or action, so fire away, sir.
Would you permit a question?
Yes, sir.
I had a question related to, for the proponent, the receipt of the funds. I'm trying to find it back here. That, let's see. I'm trying to find the line. I apologize. It was referring to funds that may be received. It was referencing these are ARPA dollars that are yet to be received. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Steinhauer. Yes, these are dollars under ARPA that have been obligated to the program at Treasury Department currently.
Did follow up.
Go ahead.
Did BFM suggest at all that you could do this with legislative intent in the G bill at all, as opposed to establishing it and putting the money in this fund?
Yep. Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Senator, BFM didn't have any involvement in this because there's no expenditure authority or appropriation that goes along with it. It's dollars that rolls into an existing program. It's the only place we can use these dollars, and so we're, again, just taking an existing program and boosting it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just checking on the consistency of BFM.
All right. So we have a due pass motion that was made by Senator Schoenbeck, a second by Wheeler. Is there any further discussion on that? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
9 ayes.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, Senate Bill 180 is hereby deemed passed and will be placed on the consent calendar unless there's any concerns. Seeing none. All right, we are moving on to HB 1118. An act to clarify when a delivery facilitation contractor may be considered an independent contractor. Senator Stalzer.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. Today I bring you House Bill 1118, which is to define when a delivery facilitation contractor can be considered an independent contractor. We're referring to what is sometimes called the gig economy, like a gig for a band playing at a bar on a weekend and so on. They're not employees of the bar or whatever, but they're paid for that particular service. In this instance, we're dealing with individual drivers who are delivering something. It might be like DoorDash, or it might be an Uber or a Lyft driver taking a person. And they have the option generally to work where, when, and how long they want to. It's designed with a lot of flexibility so that people can earn extra money. I know I had an Uber driver one time where she picked me up as she was going to go to a meeting with the teacher at her kid's school, and it just happened to work out good. She could get paid to drive there by dropping me off close by. So it adds a lot of flexibility for the individual. And once they've accepted a job on the app, they can work for both Uber, Lyft. They could do DoorDash all at the same time. They just answer a call and agree to do that, and they work for that company while they're delivering, be it a person or a pizza or whatever. But then as soon as they're done, they can turn their multiple apps on, and their next call might be a totally different company. But this is an operation that gives flexibility to people who want a flexible job, want to be able to come and go. They might be available to drive for half an hour, and then they might have some other function, and they log out and log back in. So this has been some of an issue, like in California, where they've tried to make them W-2 employees, and that's not the nature of what this job is. So what this bill does is it just defines when they can be a 1099 or a contract employee as opposed to being a employee. So with that, I'll let Grace take over.
Thank you, Senator Stalzer. Further proponents for HB 1118.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Grace Beck, registered lobbyist for Uber Technologies in South Dakota. I'm here in support of House Bill 1118, and I want to thank Senator Stalzer for his attention and support of the issue. Many of you know Uber as a rideshare platform that connects riders with drivers. The service has become popular around the world. I wish it would become more popular in Central South Dakota. It helps riders get where they need to go quickly, easily, and safely, while at the same time providing flexible earning opportunities for drivers. Uber has another line of business called Uber Eats, where instead of transporting people, couriers deliver food and groceries to people at their homes or offices. Uber isn't the only company working in this space. I'm sure you've heard of Lyft or DoorDash to get groceries or take out from a local restaurant. The products are a convenient and popular option that allow restaurants and grocery stores to expand their access to consumers. It gives additional flexible job opportunities to couriers, and it makes it easy for people to access food when they may not be able to otherwise. With that in mind, this bill is simply seeking to clarify that couriers and drivers who work on these platforms are independent contractors. The classification is important for a number of reasons. First, it ensures that couriers maintain flexibility. In survey after survey, the top reason that people work for Uber is flexibility. The business model is set up so that couriers can set their own schedules, they can open the app when they leave their 9-to-5 job, and they can even drive with multiple platforms, as Senator Stalzer pointed out. Second, it protects the modern business model and provides certainty for companies to continue offering services in the state. While we're not facing an immediate threat here in South Dakota, it is an opportunity for us to lead. A little work and attention now could prevent major challenges and disruptions down the road. There are challenges right now happening in other states, and there's a lack of clarity at the federal level. This bill means more options for consumers, more certainty for businesses, and more flexibility for drivers to set their own schedules and truly be independent. Thank you for your consideration. I urge you to support House Bill 1118. Additionally, I circulated a letter of support from Instacart as well. I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to HB 1118. Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponents. Any opponents to House Bill 1118? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive sponsor rebuttal and open it up to committee questions. Senator Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Grace. It's regarding item 4, section 1. It was interesting to me that a facilitation contractor may not terminate a contract if the contractor is refusing to accept service requests. I mean, after a period of time, don't you want to get rid of a driver who hasn't taken a ride in 6 months or something? I mean, would you respond to the need for that? Or?
Well, I think that's a little bit the beauty of the of the platform in general. You know, I might be a mom who doesn't typically drive for Uber, but maybe leading up to the Christmas season, I'm looking to make a little money. So maybe I only accept rides in late November, and that's how I pay for my kids' Christmas gifts. And that is what we see a lot in within Uber and Lyft. So that would be one reason I could offer you.
Any further committee questions on House Bill 1118? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee. Okay, we'll move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Nordstrom.
Small personal privilege to tell a story.
Go ahead.
My wife and I were in Orlando a few years ago, and we woke up early, and we're going to get to the airport. And as we went out to the Uber driver, we were having communications problem, and he pulled out his smartphone, and we communicated through that. And what we were able to determine was he had come from Venezuela. He mentioned that, and I'm always very interested in the politics of Venezuela since they're an interesting country with their socialism. And what he had said to us through that smartphone was that he had been shot by the government before he'd come to the United States. And then he went on, and we asked him, what did you do as a profession before you came to the United States? He said he was a judge. And that's probably the reason he got shot by the government. But what his comment was that bears repeating was he said it's better to be an Uber driver in the United States than it is to be a judge in Venezuela. So I thought there was great wisdom in that that we could all share. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Nordstrom. Senator Schoenbeck.
Move due pass on HB 1118.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Schoenbeck. Do we have a second? We have a second from Senator Wheeler. Any further discussion on that, Senator Schoenbeck?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this supports Christmas and freedom, two things we should be for.
Any further discussion on the due pass motion? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
We have 9 ayes.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, HB 1118 is hereby deemed passed and will be placed on the consent calendar. Unless there's any objections, seeing none. All right. Moving on, HB 1128, an act to protect the integrity of reemployment assistance. Senator Steinhauer.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Wayne Steinhauer, District 9. This is a simple act that codifies current practice related to reemployment assistance. It's necessary because we want to ensure that it continues in any future administration. It was vetted by the Reemployment Insurance Council. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1128.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, TJ Nelson with Opportunity Solution Project. OSP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan advocacy group that seeks to improve lives by advocating for public policies based on the principles of the free enterprise. Want to thank Senator Steinhauer and Representative Willison for bringing this bill forward. Like Senator Steinhauer said, this does codify existing practice. It's been vetted through the Department of Labor as well as the Reemployment Council, and we're just going to make sure that future administrations do the right thing and make sure folks getting unemployment are rightfully deserving that and aren't new hires or on the prison rolls. So with that, I'll urge your support. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Further proponents to House Bill 1128. Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponents. Any opponents to House Bill 1128? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will open it up to committee questions, discussion, and or action. Senator Schoenbeck.
Move due pass on HB 1128.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Schoenbeck and a second from Senator Wheeler. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
9 ayes.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, House Bill 1128 is hereby deemed passed and will be placed on the consent calendar. At this time, we take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Steinhauer, seconded by Senator Stalzer. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. We are adjourned.